Joshua Troy Senek. His new book is A Man of Iron, The Turbulent Life and Improbable Presidency of Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland entered the White House as a bachelor, lifelong bachelor, 48 years old. However, he was a man who'd spent his life in pursuit of discipline, of hard work. He never actually relaxed, as far as his compatriots could understand. He worked till 2 a.m., 3 a.m., until he was persuaded by the widow of and the daughter of a man who was a good friend of his named Oscar in Buffalo. He took upon the role of protecting this family and its finances after Oscar died. And the daughter, when he became the effective executor of the estate, was 11 years old, and her name is Frances. However, by the time he was in the White House, and importantly, the spring of 1885 in the White House, Frances was a major feature of his life. Frances is the most celebrated first lady that we have in the 19th century. It's amazing. And Troy, I did not know about her. It's just, it's a revelation and a half how she was so popular with the American people. They were actually willing to forgive Grover his excesses.
That's very true. I mean, Grover Cleveland, we should say this about him. Grover Cleveland comes to the White House respected because of this sort of iron will that he displays in Buffalo and New York State and then in the White House. He doesn't necessarily come to it loved. However, this is not the world's most accessible personality. So when he marries Frances, very young, she's in her early 20s, very beautiful. There's a picture in the book that gives you a good sense of this. And this is all that is talked about at the time, is this beautiful young woman. I have these excerpts presented in the book of this very purple prose about how lovely Frances is being compared to these sort of Greek goddesses. But she also has this winning personality. She is the one who is front and center at the White House receptions, wants to meet everybody, even the shop girls that she's told she shouldn't be socializing with as first lady. There is a warmth and a sweetness to Frances Cleveland that the country really responds to. And so what does this mean in practical terms? Well, she's sort of Jackie Kennedy before you get Jackie Kennedy. She is everywhere in the press. The press, by the way, will make up stories about her because they know that it's good for newspaper sales. So there's a famous instance in which a journalist in Atlanta, if I recall correctly, writes a story that Frances Cleveland has abandoned the bustle. And the sales of bustles across the country collapses because she is such a trendsetter. Turns out this whole thing is made up. She ends up abandoning the bustle afterwards because it's sort of expected of her. But to give you just a sense, Grover Cleveland, late in his first term, does a tour throughout the country. And there is an account, I believe it was one of the Midwestern stops. The specific one eludes me now, but it's representative of the tone. A reporter who says, you know, there are thousands of men across the country just as qualified to be president as Grover Cleveland, but there's only one person who could be first lady like Frances.
This celebration includes the fact that he, having spent so many decades as a bachelor, is extremely moved by children. We've mentioned how he took care of his siblings after his father's death and his mother, his duty, his dutifulness. But at the same time, he was charmed. So this ice mountain of a man is persuaded by Frances that they need a large family, and eventually they will have one. The first child is born, I believe, when he's out of office. My note here, correct me, Troy, if I get this wrong, 1891, Ruth is born.
That's right.
And he is visibly moved. You report how he responded to his friends after her birth.
Yeah, he sends a letter to a friend in which, and I'm paraphrasing him here, but he sort of conveys that everything that has come before that, this is a man who's a former president of the United States, seems immaterial in light of having this daughter. And they will end up having a total of five children, three girls and two boys, some of them coming after his second term. And Grover Cleveland has his last son in his mid-60s. And tragically, they lose his oldest. They lose Ruth, the oldest daughter, in his post-presidency. She dies quite young. She's 11 or 12 when she passes. And that was something that, as you would expect, but that was something that deeply shakes Cleveland, because he does have this other side to his personality, not often seen by the public, but he cares deeply about his family, cares deeply about his children and children in general. He is one of these people. He can be icy with his contemporaries and his colleagues, but this is a soft spot for Grover.
The detail also about Grover Cleveland in the interregnum, as you entitle your chapter, is that he's not unhappy being a former president. He believes he acquit himself well, and he'll stand up to whatever else has come. So he doesn't spend 4 years plotting to return to the White House, is my reading. Is that correct, Troy?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, he's a strange figure in the history of the American presidency because he never seems to have a deep burning ambition for the presidency. But even once he's had it, the first 2 years out of office, I quote him multiple times saying, you know, as you suggest, I think I did a pretty good job. I don't really have a burning desire to go back. He complains about it in the way a lot of former presidents complain about it. It was a lot. It's more than any person can do. And he doesn't really even get drugged back into the fray out of ambition per se. He gets drugged back in for two reasons. One is watching the Harrison administration undo a lot of the things that he did. And the other is his fear that this populist contingent in the Democratic Party, particularly on the bimetallism question, is going to take over. Those are the things that actually motivate him to get back into the fight.
In other words, policy, policy, policy. The return
That's
of
right.
Grover Cleveland ahead of us. Troy Senek is the author of the book, A Man of Iron, The Turbulent Life and Improbable Presidency of Grover Cleveland. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.